and it turns out that call came from a home about 20 miles away. This is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. But tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. So, if drugs and alcohol are a problem in your life or the life of someone you care about, then isn't it time to make a change? The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed has successfully treated and helped over 50,000 people get their lives back. So if you're ready to make your change and be free from addiction to alcohol and drugs, then it is time for you to make a change. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple text on your mobile phone. Text the word RECOVER to 474747. That's the word RECOVER to 474747. And a caring Watershed treatment professional will help you make your change. Do it now. Just text the word RECOVER to 474747 or visit us at thewatershed.com.
108 Republican members of Congress have sent a letter to President Trump to express their, quote, deep concern about the president's plans to enact tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. That letter sent yesterday saying that tariffs would make American businesses less competitive. CNN is reporting that the president may announce officially those tariffs today, although they say there are also indications he may be reconsidering. British police still looking into what appears to be a chemical attack on a former Russian spy and his daughter, found comatose on a park bench a few days ago.
Here's Scotland Yard's Mark Rowley.
These two people remain critically ill in hospital. Sadly, in addition, a police officer who was one of the first to attend the scene and respond to the incident is now also in a serious condition in hospital.
Authorities are sweeping nearby sites, a restaurant and a pub, for any possible clues.
That's Wendy King reporting, and this is USA Radio News.
You know, when the Israelites got to the desert, they were given manna from heaven. Well, we may not have manna, but we do have Numana. In these uncertain times, become food independent with Numana's long-term storable food. Healthy, nutritious, dense meals, organic, non-GMO, taste great, and last for over 25 years. Oh, and gluten-free is available. Order now and get 20% off, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just use promo code WAR. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775, or go to numana.com.
Today is International Women's Day, and McDonald's is marking it by turning its iconic golden arches, which normally form an M, upside down to form a W on its digital channels, some of its packaging, and at least one of its U.S. restaurants. 6 of 10 of its restaurant managers are women, according to the company. The company building an entirely new sign for today with upturned golden arches for one of its Southern California restaurants, and dozens of other locations will have special packaging, including fry boxes, cold cups and bags, and the inverted golden arches on employees' hats and T-shirts as well. There is a new report that claims President Trump has spoken to witnesses who've been interviewed by investigators looking into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. The New York Times says President Trump spoke to White House counsel Don McGahn and former Chief of Staff Reince Priebus about matters they discussed with those investigators, Trump reportedly telling McGahn that he should issue a statement denying reports that he ever told investigators that the president asked him to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller. McGahn reported had to remind the president he did order him to fire Mueller. On another occasion, the president probed Priebus on how his interview with the investigators went. Again, that according to the story in the New York Times. And Target says it's upping its minimum wage to $12 an hour with a goal to pay $15 an hour by late 2020. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success, America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's most legendary entrepreneurs and acclaimed individuals, those who have overcome tremendous obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and thanks again for sharing part of your day with us. Today, our exclusive interview with William Randolph Hearst III. Will has been quite generous with his time and his willingness to open up the Hearst family archives with us and share the story of the history of this household name. What a tremendous story this is with the Hearst legacy. And Will, welcome back. It's great to have you here, my friend.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
Well, a couple of weeks ago we spoke, and we're 3,000 miles away, and you said, boy, it would be much easier if we were face-to-face. So 2 weeks later, here we are face-to-face.
You're a man of your word.
What I'd like to do, Will, is just take a couple minutes and recap things that others may not have heard before and go back over a couple of highlights, and then we're going to talk about your life. What's Will Hearst up to, and how's the new generation or the current generation of the Hearst family building? If we go back to your great-grandfather, Will, it was George Hearst. And he left Missouri in the 1800s with very little money and headed west to strike it rich in the gold rush. Am I right?
Yeah, he came west as a pioneer at exactly that period of time and, in fact, spent his time and energy prospecting and developing mines. And his big strike was in the Comstock Lode, actually in Nevada, not California.
Right.
He also then began to become interested and accumulate real estate, which is how the Hearst Ranch and San Simeon became part of his estate.
Absolutely. One of the things I guess he acquired in a gambling debt was a tiny little business. You know which one I'm alluding to?
Yeah. Well, the story is that he had an ambition to run for the Senate. And in that era, senators were elected by the state legislature, not by plebiscite. And I think when he ended up with this newspaper, he thought, well, maybe this will be useful for my campaign, help drum up interest, name recognition. And when he was successfully elected, I understand he had no further interest in the paper and was prepared to dispose of it or sell it. And then his son stepped forward and said, you know, I'd like to run it as a newspaper. I'm very interested in this. And his dad, at least in the family lore, told him, well, that's not a serious profession. But, you know, if you want to sort of get it out of your system, work there a couple of years, that's okay. But then I need you to come and go to work with me in the family business.
Sure. And this was not this was a little rundown, shabby, hate to call it a rag of a news, but there was nothing from the description I've read about. And well, folks were talking about the which eventually became the San Francisco Examiner.
That's right. It had been the Examiner in 1865, I think it was founded, started. Mm-hmm. And this is now 1887 that we're talking about. And you have to remember, in that era, there was no radio. There was no television. And San Francisco probably had 20 newspapers of every different political party and ethnic population had their own paper. So the newspaper phenomenon in that era was mass media to the extent that there was anything like mass media.
Yeah, I guess outside of that, it's word of mouth. I mean, there was no other media, was there?
Well, the telegraph existed. So there was the beginning of some sort of idea of electronic transmission. Somebody once said to me, you know, imagine that before the invention of the telegraph, nothing could travel faster than a horse. Word, a contract, news, nothing could move faster than a horse could move.
That's incredible when you think about it.
Well, it's the reason why, you know, you'd have an election and then you'd find out who won 3 weeks later.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, and the other thing is that now your great-grandfather's son, who was William Randolph Hearst, he actually picked that newspaper up after, and again, I don't want to belabor what we did last time.
Yeah, no, he had been back east, been educated back east. And had seen the Pulitzer newspapers in New York City and an entirely different idea of journalism, sort of popular journalism.
Sure.
And he wanted to apply this idea in San Francisco, and he did. And it created a building success, and then he actually moved back to New York and took over the New York Journal,
sure.
Bought it, and competed directly with Pulitzer.
Right. And they said when he picked up the – when he started working, your great-grandfather discouraged him. Nobody wanted him to get into this to the Examiner, to the San Francisco Examiner. And the funny thing is that that was really the first of what became a huge multi-billion dollar multimedia mass communication
yeah.
business under the first name.
Well, he went from New York to Chicago and ended up with a chain of newspapers. And I didn't realize until many years later that he also was very active in the early days of broadcasting. And as soon as radio became a business, he began to acquire radio stations. And he had a very early interest in the motion picture business.
Wow.
Now we're talking silent movies, of course. But
well, sure. And I also read somewhere he is one of the first to syndicate comic strips.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
He was a pretty inventive guy.
He was. Now, something else I want to ask you about, because we want to cover a lot of what you're doing today, but I don't want to move off the point. Got to talk about, listeners want to know, the Hearst Castle, San Simeon. What's the lore of the legend? What's the real story of how that was built and why it was built?
Well, the castle sits in the middle of a big cattle ranch on the California coast. And that ranch was at one time a Spanish land grant, and before that it was Indian country.
Mm-hmm.
And my great-grandfather acquired the property from the Spanish land grantee and ran it as a cattle ranch. And one of the things that he would do is go and have picnics up in the hills where you could look down onto the ocean. And so there was a location there called Camp Hill, which was the sort of favorite camping spot.
Mm-hmm.
And when he died and the property was going to be developed by his son, he decided that he would build a house on Camp Hill. Now, if you sort of read this, you realize that Camp Hill was bare. It was a grassy knoll.
It was nothing.
And so all the trees and all the environment and the palm trees, you know, had to be put there, and he built this castle in by building houses and then another house and then a big house. And he had an interest in collecting art, and so he sort of built a house big enough for this art that he was collecting. And, you know, if you go on the castle tour, and it's open to the public today, it's
sure.
It's part of the California Beaches and Parks, and visitors go on tours. And, you know, you can hear a lot of these stories. But there were rooms, you know, he'd buy a ceiling and have it dismantled, and then he'd build a room to match that ceiling.
That's incredible.
You know, it's quite a production.
Quite a production. I understand. Just warehouses full of artwork, just stacks and stacks and stacks. But the whole thing was built. His heart drove him to build that. He had a little bit of a split decision, so to speak, in life about which direction he has gone and fell in love with somebody, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it's you have to realize he really didn't start working on the castle until he was in his 50s. And so, and to some degree, he had already had a career in business, and he was maybe closer to the end than the beginning of his career. And there's no doubt that he had a long-term relationship with Marion Davies, and San Simeon was kind of their house.
Was he upset with Citizen Kane?
You know, that's hard to say. I don't think he was happy about it, but I have not seen a lot of direct evidence of him writing memos to take action against Citizen Kane, and so maybe I'm not aware of everything, but I had a hunch that a lot of the people around him were sort of currying favor with the boss by trying to get that movie to not be a success.
Folks, a fascinating interview today with our dear friend Will Hurst, William Randolph Hearst III, exclusively here on Legends of Success. We'll be right back.
And now, some legendary advice from the legends of success.
Forbes magazine said, Tom Golisano is one of the best CEOs in America who's delivered shareholder value. And I've got similar accolades from Business Week, Chief Executive Magazine, Wall Street Journal. I also looked at Forbes, and I looked at the highest paid CEOs in America. I looked at the top 500. You're way down, like number 455, when you easily could put yourself up much higher. Why haven't you taken more?
Well, I'm afraid I'm out of the school that says, I think in many cases, corporate executives have taken advantage of their companies by paying them what I would consider to be excessive salaries. I think that one of the things that our shareholders have enjoyed over the years is the fact that, yes, they do have a significant position in Paycheck stock, and that's what literally drives me and the organization from day to day, and that I haven't overwhelmed myself, if you can use that word, with excessive compensation either in the form of options or salary or bonuses. I think we have taken a very conservative approach, and that's what's earned us some of the recognitions that you just talked about.
To learn more about the legends, visit legendsofsuccess.com. Ah, springtime. More color, more light. Let the sun shine in and frame it beautifully with fresh new window coverings from Budget Blinds. We're your neighborhood experts, and we're backed by the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. Only Budget Blinds gives you style and service for every budget. We do it all for you. Bring the showroom right to your home. Then expertly design, measure, install, and back it up with the best warranty in the business. This spring, the more you buy, the more you save. Up to 15% on select window coverings. Call your neighborhood experts and see for yourself. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS now for a free consultation right at home. Get savings up to 15%. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS or go online to budgetblinds.com. Let the sun shine in and frame it beautifully. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com. We responded to your calls and emails and now post each week's show for you to listen to free of charge at legendsofsuccess.com. Every week, a great guest to listen to, learn from, and enjoy at your convenience. Look for the link right on the main page at legendsofsuccess.com.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're proud to have our friend William Randolph Hearst III. Before we took a break, well, we're talking about the history and recapping your great-grandfather, George Hearst, and your grandfather, William Randolph Hearst. You're the third. Going back, didn't the Hearst Empire almost go broke in the 1930s or have a tough time?
Oh, yeah. No, I think they were very close to going broke, and I think the at one point, sort of at the darkest hour, the banks were basically running the company and trying to sell off assets and would have been prepared to close it if the company had not sort of squeaked through.
What happened? I mean, were there others surviving? Was it the entire industry, or did your grandfather make strategic decisions?
Well, there was a depression in the 1930s, and most people, as you know, when your business starts down, you'll cut your advertising budget even before you lay off people. And so the media business tends to feel economic activity very early. So when things are heading down, advertising shuts down much faster than the general economy. And I think, to be fair, having read a little bit of the history, you know, my grandfather was getting up in years and maybe wasn't paying quite as much attention to the business side of the business, and he was a bit overextended.
Really? And what happened? How bad did it actually get? Was it actually ready to go bankrupt? And then what was the pivotal thing that turned it around, Will? Do you know?
I think they really had to dispose of quite a number of assets, and so some newspapers were shut. More than half of the Hearst Ranch was sold off, and what is today the Hunter Liggett Military Reservation was once part of that ranch. They had to sell off businesses. And I was talking to a woman the other day who's writing a biography of Joe Kennedy, and she was telling me that Joe Kennedy had tried to buy the Hearst magazines, and my grandfather said, I might have to sell it to you, but not at that price.
Well, I'm sure if Joe was making an offer, it wasn't top dollar, knowing the history.
That was her view.
Let me ask you, going back, Will, you've been, it's obvious you're well-placed in the Forbes 400 list. What are your earliest memories of growing up in the Hearst family and realizing, you know, there's something different here versus the rest of the world, that you really realized you're in a privileged family, and what was that like?
Well, as a kid, you're not aware of that, or at least I wasn't, until, later in grade school. And, my brother and I, and we were a family of two boys, would often spend summers and Christmas at San Simeon. And this was before tours were running through there.
Wow.
So I can remember going there as a kid, and I remember one year getting this little electric car and driving it around the terraces there.
Oh, why?
At San Simeon. And it wasn't something that I really thought was different. Mm-hmm. You know, this was just my family and what we did, and, you know, it wasn't until kids started to say things in school that made you sort of go to your parents and say, you know, why would this kid say that, or what's different?
And was it positive or negative?
It catches you by surprise.
Sure.
And I think people who have been successful and have young children will probably tell you the same kind of story, but the kid comes home from school and says, some kid made a crack and said, why don't you buy the whole school or something? And what does that mean, Mom, Dad?
Yeah, right.
But my father had a very strong feeling that people ought to work. And
right.
So my mom would try to explain to me, well, you have people in your family who are well-known, and you have to I remember her saying to me, you have to set a good example. You have to be well-behaved because it'll reflect badly on your family.
Well, you had to be conscious of being a role model before it's fashionable in life to be a role model. Well, I guess, you know, all kids, you want to do
that. Well, when you're a kid, it all sort of goes over your head.
Yeah, really?
But I think it was very helpful to me for my dad, who just had a view like, hey, you are going to work, period. You know, we can talk about money, we can talk about anything, but we're going to talk about it, you know, when you come home from work.
So he wasn't stuffing as a kid. He wasn't stuffing hundreds in your pockets.
He was very generous, and I always felt I could go to him. But there was this value system that was completely independent of the fact that you must work.
Well, there's a strong history of being good stewards with money. If I go back to your great-grandfather, George, his wife, was it Phoebe? She gave away millions back then. This is like the late 1800s.
Yeah, she was a school teacher before she was married and had a real interest in education, and particularly in women's education. And she funded a large number of scholarships for women to go into professions that in that era were not associated with women: architecture, medicine, law.
Sure.
And this was a lifelong passion of hers. And she also was interested, you know, not strictly in the philanthropy only, but in the actual things that people were doing in education.
Wow.
So she went on trips to Egypt to go on archaeological digs, and she went and and visited with some of the people that whose research she was funding.
It's fabulous. And, you know, it's different than just writing a check. I know her three things are art, education, and charity. But when you get involved, I don't know if you know John Tisch, the chairman of Lowe's Hotels.
I know who it is, yeah.
You know who he is? His mother just anonymously walked into an AIDS center in Manhattan and just started volunteering. And she was there for weeks or months before they even knew she was. And boom, then she gave him a huge check. But there's something about being...
Well, you're always going to see things if you do that that you're not going to see if you come in on the red carpet.
No question about it. I understand you graduated, and I like, different than your grandfather, William Randolph Hearst, who didn't quite graduate Harvard because he was a real prankster and got thrown out, right?
That is correct.
So you did graduate Harvard in 1972. You have a degree in mathematics. Your first job out of college, out of Harvard, I think you became a reporter. You started grunt work.
Yeah, I had worked in the summer, but the first full-time job I had was here in San Francisco at the San Francisco Examiner. And I had not set my mind on a career in journalism. I had an interest in technology. I enjoyed writing. And I was a little leery of going to work in the family business, I think partly because my dad was... So encouraging me to do so, I was sort of pulling back the other way. Mm-hmm. And there was a publisher here in town, Charles Gould, who sort of took me aside one day and he said, you know, you don't have to do this as a career, but you're a young person and you could see what it's like, see what this business is like that your family has been in for a long time. And then if you don't like it, you can go do something else. But you're young enough in your career, you ought to get in and see it. And I liked it right away. I like the spirit of the newsroom. I like journalists as a class of people.
Sure.
They're fun. They're interesting. Paul Corkery told me one time they're like circus people.
Yeah.
People are always saying, you know, what happened to the girl with the elephant? And there's a kind of a culture of journalists and journalism that is great and very inquiring and very curious. And journalists tend maybe later in their career to specialize. But in the early part of your career, I remember one day I was covering a cat being rescued out of a tree. Another day it was a criminal proceeding. And so you got a crash course.
Wow.
In what's going on in San Francisco and in neighborhoods that I didn't live in and didn't even know where they were. You know, when you're a young reporter, you really have to kind of conceal the fact that you don't know where some of these districts are.
Yeah.
And you get an assignment to go and you sort of hope and pray the photographer knows where it is.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to learn fast. I understand. So, and you had 4 years of that. So you were out there. You're out there doing the grunt work. And, you know, when we get back in a second, I want to talk that I know after you're there for 4 years, you left. And then you went to work with a friend of yours who's one of my all-time heroes, Mr. Winter of the Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
And we get back from this break coming up. I want to talk about that. And then you came back, from what I understand, and turned that paper around. I mean, it's all the things. And
well, it was great to have been a reporter on that paper because I think it was the one paper where I could hit the ground running. I knew the city and I knew the staff.
And make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so pleased today to be with Will Hearst, William Randolph Hearst III, on Legends of Success. I'm John Rez, and we get back, we're going to find out how his career took off. And does he feel the pressure today to carry that Hearst name on and change the world like his ancestors did, like his great-grandfather, his grandfather? We're going to find out what he's up to, and he's up to some pretty amazing things. John Resnick on Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The second winter nor'easter in a week is knocking out power again through the Northeast, including to some folks like these who had just gotten it back from the last storm last weekend.
Now with the second storm, we just lost power again. I am tired of this.
The snow still falling in some sections. Parts of New Jersey have gotten 2 feet of it. There's a report that a Missouri shootout that left a police officer in Clinton dead was the result of the officers mistakenly going to the wrong house. Clinton officer Christopher Morton died on Tuesday after a gunfight involving dozens of officers. It started after a 911 dispatcher took a call where two women could be heard screaming, and they sent police to a residence in Clinton. It turns out that call came from a home about 20 miles away. This is USA Radio News.
You know, as an allergy sufferer, you're wired differently.
I sure feel that way.
That's why there's Nasacort. It's different, too. You see, unlike antihistamines, Nasacort targets and inhibits more of the allergic inflammation that causes ear congestion and other nasal allergy symptoms.
My antihistamine doesn't do that?
None of them do.
Oh, that is different.
And it's why Nasacort's more effective at giving you 24-hour relief.
So even if I'm wired differently,
Nasacort stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
William Randolph Hearst III is our exclusive guest today. Proud to have him here. Right before we took that break, we're talking about that for the first 4 years out of college, you're a reporter. You hit the ground running just to do grunt work and really get the bottom floor of this whole media business, an understanding of what it really takes to deliver news and create content. But eventually you left. After 4 years, and you went to work for one of my heroes, Mr. Winter, that was a Rolling Stone. What happened? Why'd you leave?
Well, it was interesting. I you know, Jan had already started Rolling Stone and was already a young, successful person here in San Francisco. And he wrote a series of stories about the Patty Hearst kidnapping.
All right.
And I then kind of met him and saw a different side of journalism that Rolling Stone was doing that was really more my generation. And Jan and I became friends. And he had an idea to start an outdoor sports magazine called Outside Magazine. Mm-hmm. And he asked me if I would be interested in being the managing editor of that. And I told him no. You know, I know a little bit about the newspaper business and practically nothing about the magazine business. But if you find an editor that with more experience, I'd be happy to be his deputy. And Jan said, no, that's not the offer. Either you're the editor or there's no job offer.
Well, you had to take it. You had to take it.
Well, that was a hell of a sales pitch.
Well, he knew what he
so
wanted.
So I did it. And I remember going there the first day and looking at all these people my age that had been working for Jan and working for Rolling Stone and had really a lot of experience in the magazine business, which is different than the newspaper business, and thinking, you know, I'm supposed to be the boss of these people and I know nothing. I'm going to have to be asking my subordinates, what do we do now?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You say that when Jack Welch was on the show, and I just got back from visiting him in Boston a couple of weeks ago, every level he got in General Electric, every time he ascended a new level, I said, Jack, what did you know about that? His background is a chemical engineer. He never took a business course in his life. And when he took over GE Capital, he couldn't read a balance sheet. That's exactly what it said on the air. But as you're saying, you know, a lot of people think you got to be so well-groomed to take over a leadership position. A lot of it is thinking quick on your feet. Am I right, Will?
Yeah, I think that's helpful. And, you know, you have to be honest about what you don't know. I think trying to say that you know more than you do can get you into trouble because then people won't help you out. They'll watch you fail. The other thing I would say is, you know, you got to surround yourself with good people. And so to the extent that those people that knew more about it than I did were willing to work together as a team, we were successful. And we brought in Terry McDonald, who nowadays is the editor of Sports Illustrated, but was already a very experienced magazine editor. And Terry was able to really drive the core of the editorial team. So you know, business is a team activity.
Absolutely. And you said the key wisdom there. And folks, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know we've heard this 100 times in the last couple of years. Surround yourself with the brightest people you can find. If you're the smartest person on the team, you're in trouble.
It's very true. I was reading a thing that Warren Buffett wrote the other day, and he said the trick in life is to figure out who to be the bat boy for.
Well put.
And, you know, it's a piece of humility coming from Warren, but because he's the heavy hitter on that team.
Yeah, sure.
But it's very true. You know, if you have good people skills, you can often get people who both of you know that person is smarter than you are, but they can fit in and be productive on the team.
And that's a relief, not a challenge. That is a relief. You know, you struck on something. I don't want to stray too far from it. Patty Hearst, okay. I'm sure listeners want to know, where were you, how did you hear the news, and what in the world did you make out of that whole thing with the kidnapping and the armed robberies? What happened, Will?
Well, I was living in San Francisco.
How old were you at the time?
Let's see, 1974. So I was still in my late 20s, I guess.
Almost 30.
Yeah, right. And, you know, it was a shocking thing. You sort of didn't believe it when you first heard it. And then very rapidly it was on television. And I decided to drive down to Hillsborough, where my uncle lived,
Randy's
dad, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was down there sort of paying a visit, and you could see the devastation that he was going through and that his life had been sort of picked up and turned upside down. It was also ironic to be on the inside of a news story, and everybody I knew was out in the driveway trying to get the story. Sensitized me for the rest of my life that when you are the subject of a news story, it can be very stressful. And so I've always had a little more willingness to listen to people complain about the press, I think, because I understand how difficult it is to be on that side of the story. Mm-hmm. But my uncle's life was really turned upside down. I just decided that, you know, I couldn't cover this story. You know, that made no sense.
Sure.
And so I sort of stopped going to work, quit the paper, and went and kind of moved into my uncle's house and tried to help him and his family deal with this chaotic situation.
You said he was the calm in the center of the storm, Randy, but you were particularly close with Patty. Didn't she count you as one of her favorite cousins? And
well,
I guess you still are.
Actually, it's her older sister who is more my exact age, and my brother was more the age of Patty. So to the extent that we did things together, we sort of paired up that way.
Gotcha.
But I certainly knew Patty, and I knew her as a young person. It was inconceivable to me. It was bizarre when she appeared in these bank photos and everything, and we in the family just could not accept the idea that the person we knew who had been kidnapped was somehow a willing convert to a radical political cult.
You couldn't possibly. Do you think she was rebelling against, some people rebel against their name in society? Or
no,
do you think she was under the influence?
I mean, you're going to get a Hearst family point of view if you talk
sure.
to me, but I just think the stress of that and her desire to survive
yes.
caused her to sort of find a place where she could behave and be to survive that experience. And to what degree she began to believe that were her real views or not, I really can't say, but I have no doubt that she would not have developed in that direction absent that.
How's she doing today?
She is a very normal person if you meet her today. She doesn't carry around a lot of baggage.
Yep.
The personality that I knew is still the same person that's there. You know, it's amazing to talk to her about these things, but she can talk about them in a very calm way. It's not a super sensitive mm-hmm. subject. But it's been I'm sure it's been a terrific burden for her.
Yes. Well, at least she's back to a life of normalcy and things
yeah.
are fine. Folks, William Randolph Hearst is our exclusive guest today. We'll be back on Legends of Success right after this.
Have a question or comment about the show? You can call John at 1-800-458-5656 or send him an email, john@legendsofsuccess.com. This is Legends of Success with John Resnick.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus. Call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3237. That's 800-569-3237. Again, 800-569-3237.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick. For more information, visit John's website at legendsofsuccess.com. Learn about the legends, upcoming guests, get contact information, listen to the best of legends, see photos, and more at legendsofsuccess.com.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. Continuing our fascinating interview with Will Hurst. What a wonderful history of this family. He's been so open and candid with us. I just love it. Will, we've looked at the history of George Hurst. He struck it with a Comstock mine, and then William Randolph Hurst built up this tremendous multimedia empire. Your father continued. What's Will Hurst up to? I mean, I'm sure what everybody would ask, once you're worth a couple of billion dollars, do you even have a drive financially, or what drives you in life? What are you going after these days?
Well, this sort of question and area of business of how people get information has just always been interesting to me. And I tend to be an information browser. So I like to listen to Al Franken. I like to listen to Rush. I don't feel that I only want to hear from people who think the way I do. Mm-hmm. I'd rather hear from people who think differently. And I think it's been a great social and political benefit of our civilization, our country, to have all these different points of view and to tolerate all these different points of view. So that basic set of issues about news gathering and entertainment and letting people speak from different points of view is something that's very interesting to me, independent of the of the business opportunities, which I think are vast, because I think we're moving into a media era where we need more speakers. And I think one of the things that's been encouraging about the internet as a space for expression, as well as for commerce, is that everyone is a speaker as well as a listener. And I think we've all paid attention to the growth of blogs and to the kind of I work nowadays for a venture capital firm who has been investing in new technology companies. And we were lucky enough to be investors in AOL and in Amazon and
Google and
Sun Microsystems. And
our guest today is William Randolph Hearst III. This is Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. Be right back.
One-on-one conversation with the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs and business people alive today. This is Legends of Success.
Mike Hewitt here. Isn't it our goal to stop the senseless killings? Why is the debate still focused on methodology over why a teenager would seek to kill others? Families without fathers, a pop culture bent on changing young boys without any consideration of human nature, the role of drug companies coupled with mental health industry driven by billing hours, schools training for reaction rather than prevention, law enforcement afraid to take action because of politics now pounded for their inaction. Folks, iPads, video games, and snacks don't raise healthy children. Mothers and fathers working together and serving as partners with educators do. We've moved beyond the tipping point. Self-reflection is now long overdue. Our government isn't the driver of success. We are. Embrace that freedom. Arguing over inanimate objects is silliness. Let's figure out why and work together to prevent more. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Our guest today is Will Hearst, and before we took a break, Will was talking about venture capitalists. Will, give me a quick water cooler talk about what a venture capitalist does.
Venture capitalists invest money on behalf of institutions and possibly individuals in basically startup companies, often focused around technology. Mm-hmm. But the technology is not always electronics. It can be biotech. It can be technology to make the planet greener. It can be technology for energy. But venture capitalists are looking for entrepreneurs who need capital to go start a new business. And we spend a lot of time with these entrepreneurs and help them build teams and help them raise money. We don't run the businesses, but we sit alongside the people who found them and who came up with these brilliant ideas. People say, you know, where do you get ideas for investments? I don't. I listen to people who do have ideas and who are making a pitch and try to figure out who's likely to succeed.
And as a VC, a venture capitalist, in for a return on the money or a stake in the business or both?
Well, we do take a stake in the business with the investment capital. And if the business is successful and goes public, we can return that capital in a liquid form to our investors and to the people whose money we're managing.
Do you have a desire, like I was saying earlier, I mean, your grandfather, you're the third WRH, do you have a desire to say, gee, I'm going to carry this family legacy not only to continue to be successful, but to try to create a difference, make a mark on the world?
Well, I think you do, in the sense that, I grew up in a family where people had done great things, and so you sort of want to do great things too. But but I don't think you sit at home thinking, how can I live up to something?
That's a tall order. I mean, come on.
I think it's a lot easier to think about, you know, what do I want to do with my life? What are the interesting things that are happening? Could I contribute? And then if that turns out to be successful and noteworthy, so much the better. But I think you really have to think about the content of what you're doing. If you think about your job in terms of like how other people think about me, you're not going to get it done. You have to think about, you know, consumers, coworkers, the marketplace. Sure. And then if you look around behind you and you see you've covered some distance, that's a nice feeling. But you got to look out the front window, not the back window.
Well, I also wanted to mention, I don't want to go over this lightly, that your family has been a tremendous steward of wealth. I understand that you helped direct the Hearst Foundation. One of the things I read, and I'm probably going to misquote this, but I was very intrigued because one of the missions or one of the goals of the Hearst Foundation is to fund institutions that offer opportunities to underserved or underrepresented people. So I'm like,
yeah,
pretty close.
We're involved in healthcare and education and the arts and social service. Mm-hmm. And we are active in all 50 states, U.S. focused, and very often people who are part of the Hearst Company who work in these different cities, small and large, will bring something to our attention or will encourage a local arts organization or a local rape crisis counseling center mm-hmm. to apply for a grant. So they're separate, the company and the foundation, but I think it's a benefit that we have kind of a news gathering organization that keeps an ear to the ground. You know, it's interesting in that people who are in the not-for-profit world also can be entrepreneurs.
You know, well, that does lead me into an interesting question. You know, a lot of your life is spent on the profit side of business and venture capitalism and things like that. What about the nonprofit? Is it a whole different paradigm or business model for you working nonprofit versus the profit side?
Well, I think one of the discoveries and one of the changes in the not-for-profit world, and I'm lucky to serve on a few boards of not-for-profit organizations, is that there is a kind of management revolution going on in the not-for-profit world where people are beginning to ask questions like, how do you measure value? How do you know you're doing a good job running a museum or running a society of some kind? And there are many people, including young people. I mean, we identify our business life typically as, you know, getting established and getting comfortable and being able to provide for a family. And then maybe later in life you'll do something in a not-for-profit way, or you'll volunteer in your community, or if you're not working, you have time to do that. But I think more people want to do these things at earlier stages of life. And so they're bringing the business ideas, the internet ideas, the entrepreneurial set of ideas, the startup ideas into the not-for-profit world. And I think that's a very exciting development. And again, you know, it really does come down to people. I do think boards are particularly important in the not-for-profit world because you need a balance on a board between the people who are going to raise money for the organization. Not-for-profit often means that you've got to raise money every year. You're not self-sustaining. And you've often got people that are really interested in the program. They're interested in providing the service or serving their community with a museum or with a church group or what have you. And you need to have that balance. Otherwise, you end up with, you know, profitable organization that doesn't serve very well, or you end up with an organization that loves to talk about service but is constantly going broke.
Mm. The other thing, you got to always look and see what are the expense ratio to the actual programs. I mean,
you look for different things, but I think you look to see, does the organization have the capacity to manage their budget?
Right.
One of the things I look for is, who else is supporting the organization? You sort of feel that if a not-for-profit group has been in a community, a city or town, for 5 or 6 years and delivering what they intend to be a social service, that the community has recognized that and the donors have come and said, gee, you're doing a great job and I'd like to be part of it. I'd like to volunteer my time. I'd like to make a contribution. So when organizations get all their support from one or two people, or they're always going back to the same sources of support, it makes you wonder, well, why isn't the community recognizing what these folks are doing?
Sure. Oh, no question about it. And I guess you always have to have the fine art of communication and the balance of politics.
Yeah, that's just human beings.
That's why even on a church or synagogue board, it could be jihad.
Yeah, and like any organization, if you're always quarreling, there's something else you're not doing.
That's right.
And so you got to think about the team element.
Well, I got to tell you, we always get close to running out of time, and you have been a fabulous guest. Any final advice, and I hate to say this, 20 seconds or less for startups that are really struggling?
Spend 90% of your time thinking about your team. Who is going to do what? How are you going to organize the workforce? What skill sets do you need to be successful? And if you don't have them, try and find people who do.
Hey, I want to thank today, folks. I want to thank Cindy Lund of Wilhur's office for her assistance. You've been listening to Legends of Success. Thank you so much for tuning in. The most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-847-3191. That's 800-847-3191. 800-847-3191.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Despite a letter from over 100 congressional Republicans urging him to change course, President Trump is reportedly still going forward with plans to implement trade tariffs on imported steel and aluminum and is expected to make the announcement later today. However, spokeswoman Kellyanne Conway says it doesn't mean that those lawmakers writing that letter haven't influenced the president in some ways.
They didn't say don't do this. They said please tailor the tariffs so that we can continue to sell American-made goods around the world and be able to hire more American workers. The president agrees with that.
She was speaking on Fox News this morning. New England's still getting hit with a heavy winter storm, the second in a week. More than a million people in the Northeast still without power from Maine south to Maryland, and there have been over 2,500 flights canceled since the storm began. And this is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. But tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. So, if drugs and alcohol are a problem in your life or the life of someone you care about, then isn't it time to make a change? The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed has successfully treated and helped over 50,000 people get their lives back. So if you're ready to make your change and be free from addiction to alcohol and drugs, then it is time for you
you to make a change. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple text on your mobile phone. Text the word RECOVER to 474747. That's the word RECOVER to 474747. And a caring Watershed treatment professional will help you make your change. Do it now. Just text the word RECOVER to 474747 or visit us at thewatershed.com.
The Department of Justice has agreed to comply with long-standing congressional requests for documents from a botched gun-running operation during the Obama administration. Fast and Furious was an ATF operation that aimed to track sales of firearms to people suspected of having links to Mexican drug cartels, but it was botched when federal agents lost track of hundreds of firearms. Two of the weapons were later linked to the murder of an Arizona Border Patrol agent. Back in 2012, Attorney General Eric Holder refused to produce certain documents and was cited for contempt of Congress. But now the Justice Department, under Republican Jeff Sessions, will provide Congress with documents on that gun-running operation. The Pakistani Taliban has issued a statement confirming that a U.S. drone strike yesterday killed at least 20 of their fighters, many of them suicide bombers. And a Pakistani newspaper says among the dead were also a prominent Pakistani Taliban commander and a suicide bombing trainer. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for your